It's finally available. I've been working on a manuscript for the past 4 years, and it is finally a book I can hold in my hands. It's titled, Is God Disappointed in Me? Removing Shame from a Gospel of Grace. This book has gotten so much attention that it is already a number one Amazon bestseller. I'm beyond amazed. In just a few words, I wrote, Is God Disappointed in Me? For Latter-day Saints who often feel overwhelmed by the gospel and who are constantly worrying if they are doing enough. It's for the Latter-day Saint who have stepped away from the church. It's for the individuals who appear to be living right, but still can't find peace and happiness. And frankly, it's for everyone who enjoys listening to the Leading Saints podcast. You will love and cherish this book. Now, warning, you might want to consider purchasing multiple copies to share. One bishop who got an advance copy, read it in one weekend, and then literally purchased 100 additional copies. You can order it on Amazon, the link is in the show notes, or starting in March, you can find it in your local Costco in Idaho, Utah, and Arizona. It's called Is God Disappointed in Me? And you can order it now. So my name is Kurt Frankum, and I am the founder and executive director of Leading Saints, and obviously the host of the Leading Saints podcast. Now, I started Leading Saints back in 2010. It was just a hobby blog, and it grew from there. By the time 2014 came around, we started the podcast, and that's really when it got some traction and took off. 2016, we became a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we've been growing ever since. And now I get the opportunity of interviewing and talking with remarkable people all over the world. Now, this is a segment we do on the Leading Saints podcast called How I Lead. And we reach out to everyday leaders. They're not experts, gurus, authors, PhDs. They're just everyday leaders who've been asked to serve in a specific leadership calling. And we simply ask them, how is it that you lead? And they go through some remarkable principles that should be in a book, that should be behind a PhD. They're usually that good. And we just talk about sharing what the other guy's doing. And I remember being a leader, just simply wanting to know, okay, I know what I'm trying to do, but what's the other guy doing? What's working for him? And so that's why every Wednesday or so, we publish these How I Lead segments to share. A How I Lead interview where we talk with everyday people who are serving in everyday callings, but performing as a leader. And today we're talking with Aaron Yossi, who is an Elders Quorum president in Payson, Utah, and also has a side project he's working on, which is pretty cool. It's called Sons of Thunder. That's right, James and John from the Bible. You got swag now. But no, he's got a great blog, website. We'll talk about what led Aaron to leaning into this adventure of starting an online platform that's focused on men and helping them connect with positive masculinity and finding adventure in life. And maybe how some of that has spilled over to his role as Elders Quorum. He discusses men's retreats that he's done with his Elders Quorum and even connecting with members of his quorum through the simplest way of a birthday card. So here's my interview with Aaron Yossi. Aaron Yossi, welcome to the Leading Saints podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kurt. Appreciate it.
Now, you are in Payson, Utah. Now, how long have you been in that area?
So in this ward, we've been here for about 4 years. We've been in Payson for a total of seven years, I believe. Yeah.
Nice. And where were you born and raised?
Born and raised in Riverton, Utah. Actually, both my wife and I grew up there.
Great. So a big shout out to Sean Ray, who suggested that we connect and talk. And how do you know Sean?
So I actually know Sean through my older brother. So he and my older brother are best friends. Sean and I have actually probably only met once, I think, but we've been in communication over a few different things over the years, and great guy. He lives down in Southern California, currently in a mission presidency.
Oh, great. Nice. Yeah. Now, tell me about the Sons of Thunder project that, like, where did this all begin for you?
Yeah, so it's kind of a leading saint story, actually. So it comes from my dad a long time ago. He's been a longer listener to your podcast than I have been. But
shout out to your dad.
Yeah, right? He recommended a book to me called Wild at Heart that you've mentioned a few different times. Uh-huh. And I didn't think anything of it. I think I got a copy of it and it kind of sat on the shelf for a while. And then listening to a Leading Saints podcast later on, you had talked, I wish I could remember the exact episode, but you were talking to someone about it. I thought I'd better give it a read. And it really resonated with me. It helped me kind of identify some of the things I was feeling personally in my life, and kind of led me on a journey to pursue, you know, what it means to be a man, what it means for me in my life to be a man and a father and a good husband. And so I spent a few years just really kind of with that on my mind.
Yeah. Now unpack that a little bit more. Like, where were you at this point in your life? What resonated about it, or what points came to the surface? How are you experiencing manhood as you read that?
Yeah. So I've always been, I'm born and raised in the church, always been pretty active, kind of your typical born and raised in Utah member of the church. I think at the time of reading Wild at Heart, I was married and we had 4 kids. And so really kind of doing your typical stuff. What you would kind of expect someone like me to do. And, but when I felt like something was missing, I wasn't reaching that potential. I don't think that's a unique thing to most men, but something wasn't there. I was going to the meetings I was supposed to go to, doing the things I was supposed to do. But really, really with no direction. I was in the current of the church and just kind of going with it. It was a good way to live and I wasn't unhappy by any means. But really felt like there was more the Heavenly Father had in store for me. And if I just kind of woke up a little bit and had a little more purpose and maybe did a little more searching, put some effort into it, that maybe there would be a greater adventure for me out there, something more I could be for my wife and family and the community.
Yeah. So as you read Wild at Heart, can you think of like the particular principles or points that jumped off the page to you?
Yeah. So really the one that resonated with me is, you know, he has his 3 things: your adventure to live, your battle to fight, and your beauty to rescue. And the thing that resonated to me was that adventure, that there was something that they do. I remember the story that resonated with me. It's right at the beginning of the book. He talks about working on or going to spend the summer with his grandpa on his ranch in Eastern Oregon or Washington, something like that. And he talks about being a young boy and going with his grandpa. And they went to the local farm store and his grandpa bought him a BB gun and some BBs because he had pigeons on the farm that needed to be taken care of. And he said, I walked into that store kind of a squirrely little kid, but I walked out as Sheriff Wyatt Earp, you know, ready to take on the town. Yeah. And it resonated with me in the fact that I think so often, at least in my life, I'd felt like maybe any additional responsibility or more going on was some burden that I was obligated to bear, right? I'd made certain covenants, I'd done certain things. And so I was obligated to live a certain kind of life. And it changed, that little story changed my perspective to, you know, there's an adventure here. There's something big here that's not just some duty or some obligation, but there's a really cool life to be lived. By taking on those responsibilities and doing those things.
Yeah, because it's really common, right, for as a man you know, creeps into those adult years and maybe, you know, gets married and starts having kids. There's sort of the shift of like this uber heaviness of a responsibility that needs to be watched over here, you know?
Absolutely.
And so we hyper focus on those responsibilities, and in doing so, we often lose ourselves, and or in other words, we lose the adventure of life and what fuels us and helps our heart come alive.
It's very true. Very true in my life. Yeah.
So as you're reading this, I mean, what do you do with that? Like, you think, I mean, how do you, was there the sense of going and finding adventure, or was it like a job change, or was, I mean, what do you do with that information?
You know, I think I'm still working on that. Really, my life externally hasn't changed a bunch since then, but my attitude towards how I view the little things has changed a little bit. For instance, one of the things I thought about is when I was many years ago, I was still married, but it was quite a while ago. I remember going to a stake priesthood meeting. It was one of those 7 a.m. stake meetings. And for some reason, I remember not being super thrilled to be there. I was there because I was supposed to be. And it was just a general priesthood meeting. It wasn't anything fancy. But and I remember going, and I remember just one of the talks really kind of rubbing me the wrong way. It was kind of one of those call to repentance talks that we get occasionally.
Full of shame. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
The guilt trip was aplenty.
And to be honest, it probably wasn't nearly as bad as I felt. That's probably bad that morning or something. But, and just kind of not really feeling it and kind of thinking to myself, man, I'm up at 7 a.m. I'm here doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't need to be read the riot act here. And I kind of forgot about it and moved on. And then later on, the last few years, I've been thinking, and one thing at Wild at Heart helped me realize is that those calls to repentance or those calls to do more are really a call to adventure. I thought about just the concept of ministering in the church, you know, something that we all kind of struggle with. It's the eternal battle is how do we do ministering? And I remember thinking to myself and talking to my wife, I think, imagine the life that we could have if we really took that to heart. If ministering really became a part of us, we really took it to heart. Think of the stories we'd be able to tell, you know, when I'm 80 years old and talking to my grandkids, or the adventures you'd get to have, the people you'd get to meet. It was really kind of just a shift. And like I said, I'm still going through that shift. I'm by no means, you know, 180 degrees different or so much better than I was before, but definitely my attitude towards that adventure and my duties and responsibilities have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating because, I think this is worth sort of sitting with and exploring that, because often I'm just thinking of the elders quorum president or the bishop, stake president who's listening to this and thinking, because there's such a fine line between the guilt trip message of, hey, you know, you got to get out there and do ministering, like people are suffering, like go get them. Yeah. But also this call to adventure. And sometimes we attempt that call to adventure, but it turns into a guilt trip, right? And just thinking in church history, was it the William Martin Hancock Company where like Brigham Young stood up like one general conference and he's like, they're out there, guys. Like they're suffering. They're out of food. We're going to go get them, right? Yeah. Like this is this moment of call to adventure of like, who's with me? Who's going to load your wagon up and go get them? And for the masculine soul, like that awakens us from like, we want to be the person that can go out on the frontier and rescue those who need it, right?
Absolutely.
Now, you translate that to a modern day context, and sometimes the need, it's so hidden, right? I mean, so much of the hurt and the struggle is so deep under the surface that it's hard to see, or we make the attempt like, hey, I'm here to rescue you. And they're like, how about you get off my porch? I don't need rescuing, right? Like, but I don't know. It's like worth sitting with that. There is a call to adventure that we can offer the, you know, we're specifically talking about the men in the church, but sometimes it's tricky and it can accidentally slip into that guilt trip, context.
Yeah. that stake priest in me. That's probably what it was. It probably was a call to adventure that I was too tired to hear or something. But yeah, it is a fine line between, you know, get up and do more and berating people and inviting them to something, them to something bigger.
Yeah. So, and maybe we'll come back to these principles. I'm curious, so you're reading Wild at Heart, you're sort of discovering this adventure. Maybe keep us going on that timeline as far as what you did with that information.
Yeah. So really, I just kind of sat with it for a long time and thought about it. My wife probably heard way too much about what was going on in my in my mind from that. But I tinker with things. I'm one of those jack of all trade master. Now, I love learning new things and doing little things, but I never become an expert at it. And at this, a couple years ago, I wanted to learn a new skill. I didn't know what it was. I just wanted to learn something new. And so I started tinkering around. I liked the idea of like web development and stuff like that. And so I started tinkering around with building a website and doing different things just for kicks and giggles. And then and one of the things I was trying to learn is how do you build an online store? I didn't have anything to sell or do, but I was curious how you did it and what the workings were like with that. And so one of the things I was learning, I was trying to build like an online store, and I was building it out. I didn't have it. Like I said, I didn't have a product to sell. So I was building it out to be like selling the blue light filtering goggles just for fun. And I can't remember if someone suggested it to me or what, but I thought, why not turn it into a blog or something about all these things I'd been thinking about and the things I'd been feeling and reading about. And, you know, share some of my thoughts, and then maybe, you know, you sell a couple t-shirts in the shop or something. And I put it out to I have a group text with some of my brothers and brother-in-law and my dad. And I asked, you know, what would you name something? If you were to name like a group or a club or something that had this kind of theme to it, you know, this kind of masculinity, you know, calling men to rise up and be better, but also with, you know, with God as the central focus of that. And my little brother immediately emailed back, Sons of Thunder. And I thought that was pretty cool. And so it just kind of stuck, and I just kind of ran with it. And so I created, you know, that website and ended up reaching out to other men that I admire, Sean Ray being one of them, to share some of their thoughts, you know, as I shared kind of what I was thinking, and they would write some blog posts and things for me and share some things. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it came about. And it's been, you know, something I wish I was a little more consistent at doing, but it's been a lot of fun and a way to express some of the thoughts I've had.
Yeah. So, and so what's the URL for that?
It's sonsofthunderproject.com.
Nice. And so the main purpose is for men to just share different stories, or?
You know what? Some of that's still being fleshed out, but yeah. Okay. So I've reached out to other men who have just shared thoughts that they've had. And it's not necessarily specifically about being men, but topics that relate to men. For instance, there's one about increased love and increased responsibility. Hmm. So, you know, when we are increased expectations, not responsibility, increased expectations. So, you know, when we love someone, our expectations for them are naturally high. If we don't have high expectations for someone, we don't really love them. I had there's a member of our stake presidency actually, who's a chaplain in the military and has been for many years. And he wrote one kind of about controlling what we say, you know, controlling our tongues. You know, sometimes things don't need to be said, and how do we balance that with making sure we speak up when we're supposed to? But yeah, so there's a few different things on there that have just been fun. And so, yeah, I mean, the direction,
that's cool.
The end goal is still to be determined, I guess.
But yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. Allowed me to have some really fun conversations as we have like a booth at, you know, the Payson City Town Days, our Onion Days down here, and having different conversations with people. Awesome. About why the Sons of Thunder and James and John and all that.
Ah, that's great. And you got some cool swag on here as well. Shirts and hats and things. Stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's really cool. So, and there's a few things I just want to underscore here is that, first of all, like nobody called you to do this, right? This isn't like Elders Quorum president sat you down. I mean, you're the Elders Quorum president, I guess, right. But you know, the church leader sent you down and say, we need to do this, right? And this is like, this is part of the adventure, right? That it's not necessarily that we've even been asked to do it, but there's sort of this rumbling in our soul a little bit where, and this happens with so many men. Like you sit down with a man at lunch or in a casual setting and really, really drill down, you'll discover these things of like, you know what, I always thought I would do such and such, or you know, I always saw myself going back to school, or you know, that MBA has sort of been calling me, you know, I should really go back to school and get that MBA, you know, like there's so many examples of it, or something like this, like I just felt this call to put out a call, you know, to other men and start resonating with them through the Sons of Thunder.
Right? Yeah. It's so been fun.
That's cool. Sure. That's cool. So the main idea is this is sort of a rallying point, it sounds like. I mean, for other men to just come together, and there's some, and you blog on here as well, not just you, but others share thoughts or perspectives as far as maybe something, some principles that would resonate with other men.
Right. Absolutely. Like it's non-denominational. It started out kind of non-denominational. Uh-huh. But what I found as I was going through, like 90% of my, my experiences and my perspective, or I guess 100% of my perspective comes from, you know, being a member of the church when it comes to involving God. And so it's really kind of leaned, I'm not shy about, you know, the fact that I'm a member, and that's kind of come through a lot. That's kind of leaned that way just naturally, but.
So I'm curious, you're currently an Elder's Quorum president, like I said, right? Yeah. How long you been the Elder's Quorum president?
Not quite a year. So probably nine months, I think June or July will be a year.
Nice. Is this your first go at it, or have you had other?
This is my very first go. I haven't been around the Elders Quorum for a long time.
Oh yeah. So. how would you describe the dynamics of your Elders Quorum? I mean, it's Payson, Utah, pretty established Latter-day Saint community, right? So yeah. I mean, anything out of the ordinary for a Utah Payson ward?
We have one of the most engaged Elders Quorums that I've been a part of. And it's been really cool. My job is really easy with the group. My wife and I, since we've been married, have been in tons of different wards. We, especially in our early years of marriage, we moved around a bunch. And this one has been refreshingly engaged. It's really cool. Our Elders Quorum instructors are fantastic. The engagement by the men is really good. I don't know if that's unique. I think it's unique in my experience to have a group that's this engaged and gets along so well, but it's been a lot of fun.
All right. I want to lean into that a little bit here. So, okay. I mean, and I don't know, I'm curious, like these principles or concepts you've explored through the Sons of Thunder project, like how does that show up in your Elders Quorum?
That's a great question. So really there's a desire among our Elders Quorum, it feels, at least the majority of the members, to be involved and to be engaged and to do something. And I wouldn't say it's all of them, but there's enough that the rest of the group kind of comes along, and it's been really good that way. Just a lot of good guys that aren't afraid to get their hands dirty and get involved. Yeah.
So is there anything like, how would you describe your general approach as being Elders Quorum there? I mean, is there, as far as running the meetings or connecting the group or anything come to mind?
I don't know that there is really. I've been blessed with, we have one Elders Quorum instructor right now that's just phenomenal. And then we try to do a lot of visits, and we've focused a lot on ministering interviews, just making contact with the men in the ward, and that's been huge and really good. But as far as how we lead meetings and how we do things, I don't know that there's anything specific. I know for me, and I mean my approach, it's just I've shifted my focus to be more like, this is an adventure for me, you know, going and knocking on someone's door that maybe I've never met and should have met, or you know, some of those things that maybe may have felt awkward or still do feel awkward. Now it's part of the adventure, right? Yeah. We get to go and we don't know what's going to happen at the doorstep, but it might be something awesome.
Yeah. And
so.
Yeah. 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 And that's, it is an adventure at time, right? Especially when you don't know who they are or whether they're going to be happy to see you or not.
Right.
I'm curious with this instructor in your Elders Quorum, is there anything specific he does? He's just a charismatic guy, or like?
He's a pretty charismatic guy. He's not afraid to ask very direct questions and kind of sit in it. He asks really good questions. And then he's not afraid to dig deeper on things and engage people. And some of it is that people have been willing to engage. You know, we kind of have that image in our mind, or at least I did. I spent a lot of time out of the Elders' Quorum with the young men. I had the kind of image in my mind of the teacher asks something and there's silence. And there's five guys in the back that are on their phones and two others asleep. But we get some really good engagement and that leads to deeper things. And it's helped us come closer as a quorum, I think.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah. Anything as far as that comes to mind as far as how you work with your counselors, or, you know, do you have a regular presidency meeting, or do you share responsibilities in a certain way?
Yeah. So years ago, I was just, my wife and I were newly married. I was called to be the young men's president. And I had a chance to talk with the gentleman that was leaving, who was the young men's president I was replacing. And I thought he was just phenomenal. I'd currently been in the priest quorum as an advisor. And I remember asking him, I was kind of in awe of him and how well he seemed to run the young men's program then. And I kind of asked him, like, how do you do it? Like, what's kind of the secret sauce as I step into this for the first time as a young kid? And I remember him saying, you have to hold your meetings, your regular meetings. And I thought about that a lot and have had other callings since. And I really come to lean on that. Even if you don't have anything to talk about, or you don't think you do, having a consistent regular meeting where you touch base and you identify needs, or just kind of chat for a few minutes and see how things are going with your presidency, it makes a huge difference. And so we've tried to do that. We regularly hold presidency meetings. We hold presidency meetings every other Sunday morning. And then on every Wednesday, we go out on visits. Now we go knock doors or make appointments and go visit members of the ward.
Yeah. And anything worth mentioning as far like with these visits, is that, does that involve some of the like ministering interview responsibilities and things, or how do you approach those visits?
Yeah. So the ministering interviews are usually separate. We kind of schedule those separately. The visits can be to people that we're having trouble getting to come in for a ministering interview. We may try to do that. A lot of it are members that have come up in ward council, or people that may have specific needs. For instance, we had a new member that moved into our ward and needed a help getting a couch downstairs. And we heard about it from a member of the bishopric. And so that became our Wednesday meeting. We went over to meet the new guy, and we moved a couch for him and, nice. And stuff like that. One of our goals was we wanted to have some sort of face-to-face interaction with every elder in the ward, active or inactive, everyone that was on the records. And so we've been taking around birthday cards as their birthdays come up. We take around a birthday card, just, we have some sort of interaction. Wow. And there've been some really positive experiences with that. Members that have been inactive that I'd never met before, after 4 years being in the ward, never met, that actually invited us in, and we had a great chat with them. Some of them just kind of take it, and you can tell they kind of want you to get off their porch, but most of it's been really good.
Birthday cards. This is like a, like, do you get out the crayons and create your own birthday card, or like, tell me how that works.
So I just ordered a box of generic birthday cards on Amazon, 100 some odd.
They got everything.
Cards. Yeah. But it is hard to find ones that aren't girly, that aren't really kind of feminine.
There needs to be a Sons of Thunder line of happy birthday cards, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd awesome. Take me a while. And the ones we got are still maybe not feminine, but they're pretty juvenile. Just says big crayon letters on the front, happy birthday. And we just write a little note inside and sign it for them. But
I love it.
But yeah, it's been good. And it gives you an opportunity to meet people in a kind of a less awkward way. You're just, hey, we heard it's your birthday this week. We want to come say hi and drop off birthday.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, and it's so simple, you know, that's what I love about it.
I actually learned that I had a bishop. I served in his bishopric a few years back, and he made a point. I was so impressed by this, by himself, not as a member of the bishopric or anything else, just by himself. He took a candy bar to every member of the ward on record, I believe from age 8 up, every year.
Again, so easy, right? Because so I mean, easy. I think they're really sad. They're more of like my, you know, my wife would be like, I'm going to whip up a pan of brownies. And I'm like, oh, like, it's like a lot, you know,
yeah. Yeah,
I don't want to bake some brownies, but I don't know. And so for men, it's like, yeah, you don't even need a treat. Just like
nope.
A birthday card, but
just something
you take a treat. Yeah. Grab a candy bar at the store.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a lot simpler than we think, but yeah, sometimes just that, the activation or just getting started is just hard.
All right. Any other like nuanced little things you do like that, that probably seem like no big deal to you, but are maybe unique?
We hold an annual men's retreat.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Here we go.
So I started that when I was in the bishopric before this calling. But I was having these thoughts, right, of manhood and masculinity. And it'd been a few wards since we'd ever had a fathers and sons or done anything. And as I talked to, you know, in our bishopric with the bishop and the clerks and stuff, I said, what do you guys think about doing a fathers and sons again? I think it's important for men to get out and be together and interact and do something, you know, kind of tough and masculine and camp and have a fire and let the kids light sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
And they thought it was a good idea, but one of the clerks mentioned, you know, he said, you know, one of the reservations I've had is that he only has daughters. He said, I kind of feel awkward going to fathers and sons because I only have daughters, you know, and there was the thought about, you know, suggested maybe we do just a, you know, a dad and kids thing. And I thought it kind of defeats, like, I want to get men out. I want to get men specifically out. Yeah. And so it turned into a men's retreat. We'll have our third one this year, but we go out, we try to keep it somewhere close by. We're blessed to be able to do that down here. There's some pretty nearby places to camp, and we hang out, we have food, and we have a devotional that night. We talk about different things. And yeah, we play games and just kind of hang out and just be guys for a while. It's just a quick overnight kind of thing, but it's been a lot of fun.
I bet there's some good unity that comes from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Wow. And again, very simple, right?
Yeah.
You don't need fancy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Cool. Anything else that your secrets to success there as Elder Scrolls Prince?
I think so. Nothing really. We've had really good success using group messaging, like via WhatsApp or GroupMe rather than the old email thing. That's helped.
Like the entire quorum?
Yeah. I was really surprised. I thought we'd get a lot of pushback on it. People not wanting to add a new app to their phone or do something else. But it's made my life a lot easier when we have move-ins, move-outs that, you know, with short notice, you send out a quick message and usually get really good response from there. And our elders quorum instructor, he sends out the lesson and some thoughts in advance. And hey, we're going to talk about this and I'm going to be asking these kind of questions. And it's been a lot of fun. People asking to borrow tools and everything else. It's
nice.
It's worked out pretty well. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Just a simple system. And there are things like GroupMe that you can download the app or you can just use text, right?
Right.
So there's ways if you do get pushback around that. Yeah. So yeah, just that casual, especially 2024, right? There's just people are more used to that, maybe like the text, they'll step into any text message feed as long as they can step out.
Yeah.
You know, nobody likes to get caught in
And I could see how it could get a little overwhelming, and we try not to overwhelm people with messages because we all have a lot going on, and having your phone ping all the time because Dave down the road needs a wrench or something can be rough, but it's worked out pretty well for us.
Awesome. So you'd recommend people read Wild at Heart?
Absolutely. I keep extra copies to give out to people at my house because it's been a big deal.
Yeah. Now, and as I've said before, like, it's written by, you know, John Eldridge, who's evangelical. So there are some doctrinal points you just have to wave past. But again, generally speaking, it's a great sound resource that it has impacted my life. And I've heard over and over the lives it's impacted. And it's just like a good, like, I'm just thinking like that, that newly called Elders Quorum president, who's just like, all right, where do I start? Like, how do I even begin to tap into the heart of a man?
Yeah.
And, And it's just, it's a good place to gain some perspective and be like, okay, like maybe I don't understand it totally, but I kind of have a starting place here. I can lean in and
absolutely
help some men. So
it definitely kind of, for me at least, opened up my thought process where I pursued a lot more. I started looking a lot deeper to see, you know, what am I missing, or what is there out there? So it opened up a lot of that.
Awesome. Well, and I encourage people to check out, maybe, or tell them where to go to remind them again, where to go to check out more Sons of Thunder stuff.
Just sonsofthunderproject.com. And yeah, we're always looking for people with great experiences, or even without great experiences, guys that want to share their thoughts or everything's not on that aspect of it.
All right, Aaron, last question I have for you is, as you look back on your time as a leader in the church, how has being a leader helped you become a better follower of Jesus Christ?
I think it has helped me realize how individual the gospel is. As we function our capacities as leaders, I think one of the things I've noticed most is how aware our Heavenly Father is of individual circumstances and individual needs. And it's helped me better engage with those things that are right in front of me, like the needs of my family, and Lord, knowing that the gospel is very, very personal and very, very individual. There's a lot of good group things that come with it, but our Heavenly Father knows us specifically. And so it gives me kind of an excitement and a drive to follow my Savior, knowing that He cares about me, and I know He cares about me because I've seen Him care about so many other people through opportunities to lead.
And that concludes this How I Lead interview. I hope you enjoyed it. And I would ask you, could you take a minute and drop this link in an email, on social media, in a text, wherever it makes the most sense, and share it with somebody who could relate to this experience. And this is how we develop as leaders, just hearing what the other guy's doing, trying some things out, testing, adjusting for your area. And that's where great leadership's discovered, right? So we would love to have you share this with somebody in this calling or a related calling, and that would be great. And also, if you know somebody, any type of leader, who would be a fantastic guest on the How I Lead segment, reach out to us. Go to leadingsaints.org/contact. Maybe send this individual an email letting them know that you're going to be suggesting their name for this interview. We'll reach out to them and see if we can line them up. So again, go to leadingsaints.org/contact, and there you can submit all the information and let us know. And maybe they will be on a future How I Lead segment on the Leading Saints podcast. And remember, grab your copy of my new book, Is God Disappointed in Me, on Amazon or in select Costco stores.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.